Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
When it comes to picking the perfect treats for your dog, Stewart makes the choice easy by keeping it real. Real ingredients, real nutrients, real benefits. Stewart dog treats are free from additives, corn, soy, wheat, and grains. Plus, they're freeze-dried to lock in all the great nutrition and natural flavor your furry friend deserves. Stewart freeze-dried dog treats. Big, tail-wagging nutritional benefits. Available on Amazon.com today.
Welcome to Nerdist Podcast number 594. What a week! We did some Talking Dead, we went to New York and did some shows for At Midnight. I am posting this podcast a day late, which is very rare for me, but I came back from New York and immediately went to BlizzCon, which was incredible. I was kind of nervous about it because I didn't want to screw it up, and it was... The costumes were amazing, and the crowd was incredible. There were like 12,000 people there, and that Warcraft community was very, very, very nice to me, and I had a blast. So thank you if you were there or took part. And if not, then erase the last 40 seconds from your brain. This episode is OK Go, which was one of our first podcasts, maybe number 12? I think we went to Damien's house, and when we had all our giant, archaic equipment set up, which we've slimmed down just a little bit. But I can't believe it's already been like 4+ years since these guys were on. But their new album is called Hungry Ghosts. It's out now, and Damien, Tim, and Andy are in the interview, and such sweet, hilarious, cool, innovative, wonderful chaps. So it was really good to have them back, and then they actually play a song at the end, so stick around for the Nerdist. And if you haven't seen I Won't Let You Down yet, the new video, you absolutely should, because it is another triumph in the pantheon of OK Go, we're figuring out how to make good YouTube videos. So here it is, Nerdist Podcast number 594 with OK Go. Okay, go. Listen to the podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I love your Taj Mahal sweater.
Thank you.
That is an amazing sweater, Tim.
I appreciate that.
And I'm also excited that, as we were saying kind of before, you were on one of the very first episodes of this podcast. You believed in us when no one knew even what a podcast was.
And we still do. I still don't know what a podcast is.
I think we're trying to figure it out.
I have no idea.
It's an internet radio broadcast without the radio.
Like SiriusXM U?
No, that's a station. Just mentioned a very specific station.
Is that with the satellite?
Mm-hmm. That's in the air.
That's in the air, yeah.
That's right.
Space is not nice to people.
Don't do well up there.
I've never been to space, but people tell me that there's like no air out there at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But first of all, uncool, right?
Very, well, very, very cold.
Okay, yes. But I mean like in the Fonzie sense, like very uncool.
Yeah, no. It's like even Fonzie, I bet you he could do that, like that snap and everything.
And then he'd be okay.
I don't think so.
What?
That's the thing, is I think like outer space.
If he snapped, you wouldn't hear it.
Again, listen, I shouldn't talk about it. I've never been there.
I wouldn't even be able to hear the snap.
But I think
that's how uncool it is.
I think, well, you'd be able to hear it at very low frequencies. I think at incredibly low frequencies.
But how is it going to travel?
You and I wouldn't pick it up, though.
No, we wouldn't pick it up. Like they released that all those like those sounds of Saturn, like all those super low.
I heard that. You know, that was like last week.
Yeah, but that is not Saturn snapping, is the thing. Saturn doesn't even have arms.
No, that's like electromagnetic waves.
I would say.
Yeah, it's more that.
Yeah. I would say Venus is probably the Fonzie planet.
How so?
I don't know.
Venus is a woman, right? Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah. If anyone, it would be Mars.
You think so?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
No, men are from Mars, and who's the ultimate man?
Yeah.
Fonzie.
And where
Darth
are women
Vader.
From?
He's only part man.
Right, that's right. Well,
just,
now.
Just finish the quote.
For some reason, I thought you said Darth Hader, like Bill Hader over to the dark side.
Darth Hader is awesome.
I hope he goes
Bill
as
Hader
that
became
for,
a Sith.
I hope he goes as that for Halloween.
Oh, my God. You've just given me my Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's a perfect Halloween.
Totally. Darth Hader. Do you know what Tim was last year?
What?
I was Pharaoh Fawcett.
What?
Yeah, I dressed up like a pharaoh and put a faucet through my like pharaoh.
That
cap.
Is oh, nice. Fucking amazing.
Yeah. It was good.
I did Luke Skywalker Texas Ranger this year.
You've had that idea for a
I've
while.
I've had it before, but I almost did Prince Leia, which was like Princess Leia, but then purple oh with God. Like the
that's
little.
A great
that's
idea. Great.
That's a really
yeah,
good one.
See, but I, it was too much. It was too much.
Are you doing anything to dressing up tonight?
I think tonight I'll just do the Luke Skywalker one.
So you already have the
that's
outfit.
Good.
I
want to dress in all like winter gray and then and like from the neck down be in winter gray and then on the top look like Elvis and be Elvis Priusley.
Oh, that's
that could be pretty good.
You know, you know what? The love-hate relationship I have with like weird conceptual mashup costumes is that people you know, it's just like the dude at a party is like, what, a space cowboy? And I'm like, no.
That is the problem.
And you got to explain it.
You
like,
have to,
oh, I get it.
Right.
I had a really bad pun one that I thought the failure of the joke was the success of the joke, you know? Mm-hmm. And no one, not a single person who saw me that year or I've told about it has ever found it amusing except myself. I'm going to try you because
no, like, come on,
it's nerdy.
Please.
I had a wristband. It was Velcro on it, and I Velcroed a small box on there, and then I went to a party, and I drank a bunch, and when people asked me what I was, I said, I'm drinking outside the box.
Amazing!
You were the only two people who ever found that amusing.
That's like you're hanging out with the wrong people. I
know. I will never go to that party again.
One year, right after college, I went to I got this basically a sweatsuit. And I glued all of this tinsel to it, mm-hmm. So it was just all like transparent tinsel. But it when it caught the light, it had this reflective quality. And I was Hall's Mentholyptus Vapor Action. Like I was the
you were the Vapor Action.
I was the Vapor Action from the old Hall's commercials.
That's I never awesome. Got that conceptual.
Did not fly. Did
I've
not
only
fly.
Like it's like the past couple of years. It's like my wife and I have done couples costumes, which I normally hate, but she's really good at coming up with them. And
also, you got to do them because she's your wife.
You have to do them. Yeah. You have to. But like knowing it, we always have to explain them. Like last year, we were Simon and Hecubus from Kids
Oh,
in the Hall.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We had to keep on telling people that. Yeah. And then the year before that, we were Chainsaw and Dave from Summer School. Another thing we had to keep on mentioning to people.
Yeah.
Before that, we were the Master and Torgo from Manos Hands of Fate, the one of the best episodes of Mystery. See, I lost you guys at that one.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't lose me.
Yeah, you didn't,
yeah,
lose,
I didn't
me.
Lose you.
I'm on board. Yeah. I saw
we're like,
at,
cute.
At Disneyland last Friday for the Halloween party, I saw two dudes who, and I was so delighted that they did this because I know that there might have been four people in the park who got this reference. They were dead Bill and Ted from Bogus Journey. So they were all like black and white Bill and Ted.
That's great. Good. That's good.
I was very impressed by the reference and the commitment.
I somehow ended up at a party once where I saw Michel Gondry and he was dressed as a question mark. And I thought, like, I was like, man, that's so French.
Yeah.
So, French.
Was it someone dressed up like Michel Gondry or was it actually Michel Gondry?
I was told it was actually him.
Oh my God, that's what you should be, Tim. You should be Michel Gondry as a question mark.
That's good.
You should be Michel Gondry as an exclamation point and find actual Michel Gondry and then go as an interrobang. Like you could just stand next to you, stand to the right of him.
That's good.
Yes. I think that's the way to do that.
I had to advise on a costume for Jamie Ziegelbaum a couple years ago, and he didn't have anything. He was my roommate, and I gave him jeans and a jean T-shirt. I mean, jean, you know, button down shirt, and then I put Billy Bob Thornton on, a picture of Billy Bob Thornton on his chest, and he was Billy Jean.
Yeah,
These are all good ideas, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do a lot with little. You just need to like puns.
I hope you're recording.
Oh yeah, we are recording. That's right. Oh good, I see the thumbs up. Also, since I saw you the last time, I have worked with Fraggles and I've worked with a Muppet.
Really?
And
and you feel like you can do both of those things, and you're not cheating on one or the other?
I feel like it's okay. I feel like I feel like the Fraggles would be more upset that I was cheating with the Muppet than the Muppet would probably not care.
Muppets, yeah, the Muppets are like, do whatever you want, man.
I don't care.
I'm a bleeping Muppet.
I don't need this.
Yeah. But which Muppet was it?
It was the chef, Swedish Chef.
Yeah, he's pretty good. You know, did you talk to him about his accent?
We talked a little bit, yeah. Yeah,
it's actually a Norwegian accent.
Is it? Oh, really?
The Swedes get
so the
really
Swedes
pissed.
Tell us. Yeah.
We made a record in Sweden. Our second album was made in Sweden. The first thing they said, they were like, "What do you know about Sweden?" And we're like, "Ah, you know, I mean, meatballs, Swedish Chef." And they're like, "That guy is Norwegian." they get really mad.
Norwegian Chef just doesn't have the same.
I know.
It just doesn't have
the
same.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to it.
Swedes are. You think? I don't know. I feel like you know. Like Tim could say, like that's so French about the question mark. You say something so Spanish or so British, and it's like you kind of know the basic culture of most European countries, right?
For the most part, yeah. It's or at least Sweden. We have some understanding.
When we spent 3 months there, and there's a much more intense culture. Like there are lots of things I didn't know about it. Like like for instance. The way they end, like if I was talking to you right now and you wanted to be like, like kind of just nod me along while I'm going, instead of doing, you go,
oh, what?
It's really weird.
That's strange. Are they summoning something?
No, I thought everybody had like a cognitive disorder. I was like, well, how have we
They're
found
breathing in the words and the information?
It's
like how we say, you know.
Yeah, like, or But so very first day we met our producer on that record, second album, record was called Oh No, and we made it in 2004, I think. We played a show in London, and he came to see us in London like the day before we were going in the studio. And they're also extremely comfortable with silence in a way that most Americans aren't, and especially not me. So we're like at the show, super amped up, had this great show. Like, what do you think of the show? He's like, it's very good.
So of course you're reading that as
literally we sat there in silence for like 10 minutes and I was like, so do you have any pets? I mean, like, I didn't know what to ask at all.
Yeah, and he was like, yes, one. Why?
And so, of course, being the idiot I am, I just sort of like tried to fill the silence, like, well, I think we should make the record this way, I think we should do that, and the whole time he was just like
So not only are you not getting anything from him that you have grown to expect from just basic American interpersonal communication, but what you're getting is actually a weird series of slurpy sounds.
And if the farther north you go, I may have it backwards now, but the more they add a fricative in there, they go like, yup. And I was like,
and the further north, also they only really communicate that way, yeah, right? Like, to save energy because it's so cold. That's what they told us.
That's what they told us.
That's what they told us.
But, so yeah, no, I really was like, this is a version of Tourette's I've never seen. And then like, his assistant was next to him doing the same thing. I was like, maybe it's a disease. Like, maybe we're going to go to this studio and catch this weird, like, brain disease.
Or it's like a body snatchers thing where they've all been taken over.
Snatched.
Filipinos, when they try to get each other's attention, go, tss, tss. That's what they do.
Well, that's kind of like, psst.
Yeah, but right? It's like, but it's loud and not trying to be, like, our psst. It's like, hey, I got a secret.
Yeah.
This is like I've seen, like, you know, kids doing this to their friends, like, across a, you know.
It's like, yo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so hard to do everything right in America.
Do you remember they told us they hold the world record for the most number one world records, apparently.
Are you serious?
That's what they told us.
That's just Tor's sense of humor.
Yeah.
So our producer was this guy who's so quiet. It turns out he's one of the funniest guys we've ever met. He's just extremely dry. And so he, like, I don't think I saw him smile the entire time, but he was never not telling a joke.
Okay. You
know? So he's like, Sweden holds the world record in world records. That's like his joke, and he just walks away.
But
the whole time I was there, I was like, wow, that's so cool. There's the most world records. I didn't know he was kidding at the time.
It took me until
3 days ago to know.
We don't do...
Yeah, I made
we
that
don't
too.
Do that too.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't say anything about it.
I mean, I would think that was weird if someone made those noises to me.
It was pretty weird. Indian people do this to mean yes. I'm radio listeners.
They let left and right.
It's left and right. It's the same. It's the same thing you would do if I was like, did you like that show? And it was like your friend, but it was a really crappy show. And you're like,
I mean, you know, the sound was weird.
So I was in India. I was in India for like a month, a couple years ago. And you basically are required to have a driver. You should, because it's crazy. They drive crazy. And I was like asking our driver, like, do you think we could stop for food? And he's like, on? I'm like, why, how can this guy tell me? Like, I don't know. Like, all month it was like that. You just, I never got used to someone being like, this is yes. Wow.
Did you ever confront someone and go, oh, because we do this? And
yeah, I was like, why? Listen, I understand that there's several billion of you in this country, but don't you understand that America made up a different thing for that?
Yeah. Why can't you have the courtesy to adapt to my foreign ways?
Our necks don't do that.
Yeah, my neck doesn't move that way. And plus, you, if you start doing that in those call centers, man, people are like,
they're not gonna.
Yeah, we've already outsourced all our jobs,
so no one's gonna know what's happening.
No,
at that point. By the way, congratulations on the new video, which is fucking insane.
Thank you.
I mean, literally, I always feel a little stressed out for you guys. I'm like, how are they going to top that last one? How do you go up for, I mean, do you feel that pressure?
Well, it's nice that someone feels stressed.
Yeah.
We're usually so relaxed.
It's just really relaxed. Making videos is a super relaxing process for us.
It's really easy, right?
Yeah. Now, this one was great because we had 4 shoot days in August in Tokyo when it never, ever rains. So it's exactly why you can use this indoor vehicle, which you're not really supposed to take outside, and you're definitely not supposed to get it wet. Mm-hmm. Or use a flying drone, which you could never get wet or fly in the rain. So we just had rain for the first 3.5 of those shoot days. It was like, we're just sitting there like, at least we had a lot of extra rehearsal time.
Fuck.
It was every video has that moment for some reason.
Yeah.
The Rube Goldberg one that we shot here in Los Angeles, we shot in Echo Park.
I know that space. My wife works in that space now.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
An animation house called Six Point Harness now has that space.
Cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hi, Six Point Harness. Do they have electricity currently?
It took them a long time to get all the stuff up to code.
We understand why.
Yeah.
There was, because 11 hours before our shoot started, a drunk driver hit the junction box or whatever it is right outside the building, and there was just no electricity.
Oh, jeez.
And we were like, this was like going to be the all-nighter where we finished the whole thing and everything. And so we all go out in the parking lot where people's cars can light up. We can sort of work out there for a minute. And a guy who's high on PCP started attacking the crew and started jumping up and down on people's cars, like literally like crushing in people's hoods and stuff like that. So everybody runs back inside. And then he started picking up our power tools out there and throwing them at the door.
Sure.
And so there's no electricity. It's like cold and dank and weird in there. They're like the police are on their way. Mm. And we have a homicidal maniac pounding the door.
I think I understand why you named your band what you did, because it's all the stopping and starting. Oh, okay, go.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, okay, go. Wait. Okay, go. Okay, go. Shit. Fuck.
We actually were going to call it Okay, Go, Shit, Fuck, but it was a less... just less punchy.
Is that how Kiss originally wanted to be called? Fuck? Didn't Kiss... Wasn't that like their original name for Kiss?
There was a band called Fuck.
There is a band called Fuck.
Yeah. Or maybe it was.
But were they... They wanted to be called Fuck.
I heard that Kiss originally wanted to be called Fuck.
But of course...
It's a bad word.
They really like money.
They do like... It turns out Gene Simmons likes to make money and just fuck people.
Yes.
And so they didn't want to call their band that at the same time.
Are you sure he doesn't like to also fuck money?
I bet he likes
not 100% sure.
I would not be surprised if he fucked money sometimes.
There's nothing wrong with just jamming your dong into a pile
That's
of hundies.
That's the sign of like you are filthy fucking rich.
You don't even really have to be rich. I think you could probably fuck like 50 ones. You know what I mean? Like,
I do want to call attention to the
unless you're in Canada, in which case it could be very dangerous because they have a coin-based currency.
Yeah. Good point.
You want to fuck a bunch of loonies.
You can fuck a couple of toonies. If you're rich, you fuck toonies.
Is it toonies or is it loonies?
The toonies are the $2.
Toonies are the $2.
Yeah. But you can't. I mean, I personally, I think anyone could fuck money.
Anyone could, yeah.
You gotta soak it in water for a while.
No.
Money is a really, it's like the dirtiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly where, to use your phrase, you don't want to jam your jung.
Yeah. No, I think you do.
Doesn't like every dollar bill have herpes?
Maybe.
Isn't hepatitis like on every?
I think as long as the sores aren't showing on George's mouth, then you
it's
can fuck
like
it.
The Rockies on a can of Coors. Yeah. It's like that's when you know.
I think it's okay.
I'm glad you spent a lot of time with cans of Coors and the Rockies.
It's a commercial I saw, and yes, it did make me buy one just to see it change.
And how'd that
go? Like Freaky Freezies.
It was. It did not make up for the fact that I had to drink Coors afterwards.
Are you guys
our sponsorship?
No, we'll never. That's a great thing about not, because I don't drink, so I'll never have an alcohol sponsor. So you can say whatever you want about any booze sponsor, and that will never affect anything.
Awesome. Fuck you, MD 2020.
What's that?
Yeah. That's the Mad Dog 2020. It's
I wonder if, like, if you went into a store and you put down a $10 bill and you're like, I fucked this $10 bill, yeah. you'd probably get a lot of things for free, I bet.
I think people would just be like, well, you're going to need to pay me with a different $10 bill. I'm not going to take that one.
Oh, sure.
I didn't think about that. But then what if the guy was like, oh, that's cool. I fucked all those chips you're holding. Like, you know, like yeah. all the groceries. Hey,
Well, then no one would ever buy or sell anything.
I mean, the last time we did a Nerdist podcast, it was intelligent.
Didn't we talk about nerdier things?
I mean, we certainly didn't talk.
Well, I feel like we've talked about language structure. We've talked about currency and currency.
That's true.
And space. Different
forms we did talk about things dying from outer space.
We talked about space. What would be your favorite molecule to fuck? Just to make it sciencey. And
oh boy, molecule.
Molecule. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which part of the periodic table would you like to come on? I mean, and if you could aim it. Is
oxygen like missionary position?
That's just oh
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was good. The audio O face is really good.
People love when we do the audio O face. Yeah,
I'm struggling to think of an element that I have a real connection.
Listen,
to.
By the end of the podcast, maybe you'll think.
We were asked recently what on stage like we get. Okay, so we do a question and answer session from stage.
That's fantastic.
Fairly frequently. And at least 75% of the time, someone asks what her favorite color is.
Oh, it's way higher than that.
You think
it's like 95% of the time.
What the fuck? Who cares?
Who cares? And exactly. And who thinks of it? I'm mostly who thinks of that.
Yeah, that's
like a... like I'm like, who has any questions? And like hands shoot up all over the audience. And the first person, and if not the first, the second goes like, what's your favorite color? As if they just like didn't have a question, they just wanted to have their hand in the air, you know? And then they're like, that's the first question that came to mind. But I don't know. Does everybody else in the world have a favorite color? Because I don't have a favorite color.
I don't really have a favorite color.
I don't know. I mean, I like blue. I like that blue that's your sweater.
Well, thank you.
But would you,
because
like,
the same color as the TARDIS. That's the only reason
it's cobalt.
Like it.
It's a good color. It's a good color.
But like you can't. It's anyway. So what I usually say is like, I don't have favorites and blah, blah, blah. And then I make up, so I try to come up with like the most obscure and least favoritable color I can, and then say like it's like trying to pick which element you'd like to breathe the most, and
then of course somebody
the next question was which element would you like to breathe the most.
I think the next time someone says, I think this is how you shoot that down. Someone goes, what's your favorite color? You go, I don't see colors, you fucking racist. And then you just move on.
There you go.
That's great. And then you just move on from it and then just kind of let that person feel like, whoa, you know, like they just called out.
That's how most questions end anyway. Just move on and the person's sort of confused.
Yeah, we do. Actually, the trick with the question and answer thing is to try as hard as you can not to answer anyone's questions.
Right.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Sometimes they really corner you. There was one. A gentleman from the crowd asked a very carefully worded question: How single and how experimental are you?
Okay.
And it was just like, I don't know how to dodge this one.
And so, how did you answer it?
Well, I was like, well, here's the thing: experiments have to have conclusions, mm-hmm. right? Like, experimental music is not experimental because, like, what the fuck is your thesis?
Right.
You know, like, what's your hypothesis here?
Right.
You know? And
how long will people listen to this?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I was like, I don't know what type of experimenting you'd like to do, but I'm assuming, given your tone, that the only things that could really come out of this would be like venereal disease or
right.
a child, if you weren't male.
Right.
And I don't want venereal disease or a child right now, so let's not do that experiment.
But would you do it for science if you thought, well, this will be the first dude to actually give birth to a human?
Second, Arnold Schwarzenegger from Junior.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that documentary.
Yeah.
Well, when I was thinking it was the first, I was like, there's a possibility, but I don't want to be second to Arnold.
You don't want to be the second to Arnold.
It's not a tuba.
Are you it's a baby.
It's a tumor the size of a baby.
It's a tumor the size of a baby.
I should have been more clear.
It's a sentient tumor.
No, but that's a band person joke about what the sousaphone. It's not a tuba.
I've actually never heard that one.
Really?
That's
a fantastic joke. You need to do that on stage.
Right, but remember that no single person I've ever told about drinking outside the box has ever laughed about it. And you had the exact same laugh to tuba as you did with.
I did. Well, I like. Listen. I'm a sucker for puns and wordplay.
Good.
Well,
me too.
Sometimes I think what can happen is
it just sort of depends on what the makeup of your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
And if the majority of people have to stop for a second and think about it, it throws off the other half that would have jumped on the bandwagon to laugh.
To laugh.
Like,
yeah.
There's right. Because you'll have like a majority of fringe followers in the audience, and they're looking for a series of activators in the audience to know, like, oh, I should be laughing.
Oh, this is funny.
Yeah. And if those
He got kicked in the nuts.
That's right. But if those activators are temporarily stopped, then the followers won't. Then it seems like. Or you're in Sweden and they're appreciating
and they're just silent.
You just don't know.
Yeah, and they're just silent. I came back a slightly more peaceful and quiet person at the end of that run.
I did too.
It's gone away since.
I was a lot more comfortable with silence at the end of that, but that's ended.
Or has it?
As you can tell.
I was trying to let it play out.
Being American and not letting it.
No, I know. I was trying to let it play out. I was trying to see how long I could be comfortable, and the answer is not very long.
Should we try it?
Well, no, but this is also...
I think we just lost it.
This is an audio... podcast.
Yeah.
But I think it would make people uncomfortable listening if we were just silent for...
It would. I mean...
Super John Cage.
Have you ever heard dead air on the radio for real? It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Yeah. I used to work in radio, and when the station would go down, or if I would just get sleepy because I worked in the middle of the night, and there was and all of a sudden I would just sort of like drift off to sleep, and in my half-dream state, I could hear this like... That was actually just the dead air of the speakers in the in the radio.
What did it translate to in your dream?
it wasn't anything specific. Like, it's a very caring snake. Like, it wasn't anything like that. It was, it was just sort of translate into this sort of like all of the environmental things that get folded in as you're drifting off to sleep. It didn't really translate as anything. It was just kind of a layer.
Can we go back to the snake for a second?
Yeah.
Sure. How did you decide to make him caring?
Well, because it's a gentle sound.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't like like a Filipino person trying to get your attention.
Exactly.
It was like a very caring, like...
Yeah.
Drift to sleep, like Ka from The Jungle Book.
Yeah. Or Sammy the Snake.
Yeah. What have you been... So what have the last 4 years, since that's about how long it's been since you were on the podcast? 4 years? Yeah, 2010.
Yeah. Christ, well, I don't know. No, it could be because we're coming up on 5, and they were the 12th episode. So
it's almost 5. It's like 4.5 years.
Yeah. 4.5 years.
Fuck. What number episode is this?
This is almost 600. Oh,
600.
Congratulations.
Wait, how have you done all those episodes without us?
I don't know.
They cannot possibly be interesting if we're not here.
I know that.
Time moves weird in podcasting. I thought you guys had just been on until I realized that it had been
so long. We were
just
killing time until you guys come back.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
So what have you? What have the last 4.5 years? The last time I saw you had just done the Muppet album.
Right.
And
We had not yet done the video, I presume.
Right.
Yeah, the Muppet video was actually made almost a year after we recorded that, wasn't
it?
Yeah. And yeah, we worked with the Swedish chef like you, but also all the other Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
What?
He's Norwegian!
Bjork, 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 you guys are adorable.
Animal came to my house for band practice once.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Holy shit.
Animal does also, Animal's mostly made out of feathers, and he leaves them everywhere. So it's pretty exciting.
He molts in your house.
I have a bunch of animal parts.
That's fantastic. Are you in the same house that you're in? Because we came to your house before.
Yeah, you came to my house for the last one. I moved to New York and then I moved back. But in the meantime, I lost that house because I moved out of it.
You moved, yeah. So you've lived in a couple different cities. What about you guys? What have you done the last 4.5 years?
I mean, we were there.
Yeah.
I have not moved cities. I've lived in Los Angeles this entire time. And my God, I mean... We made a new record.
A lot of videos.
I mean, in that time, you could have had kids, you could have gotten married and divorced, you could have broken up the band and gotten it back together.
Yeah,
we did
some of that.
You could have gotten a degree. Yeah.
we've done a lot of what you just said.
Yeah,
I did get married and divorced.
Did you really?
Yes.
Holy shit!
Again, our drummer did have a child. He's not here because we're planning to play acoustic today.
So cool.
We don't need drums.
You produced a record.
I produced an album for a band called Lavender Diamond. We started a record label.
I started a band called Pyramids.
Nice.
Yeah.
I
like that band, Tim. You're in it.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, what?
Hey, thanks.
What if you're like, I'm not a fan?
It's okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's all right, I guess, if you like that sort of thing.
I feel that way about our first record, actually. About OK Go's first album. Yeah. I mean, we still play some of those songs live, and they're still fun to play, but it's amazing to me when kids are like really, really, really into that record and want me to be excited about it. I'm like, that's something I made 15 years ago, and it's embarrassing to me. You know?
like, and they just walk away.
You still play songs from it?
Yeah, yeah, we still play songs from it. And I know that people like them, and I know that I liked it when we made it. It's just, I don't know. I mean, think of anything you did 15 years ago. I mean, think of, I don't know, a paper you wrote in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Really like, it's the same thing, like jokes you write when you first start doing stand-up, and you look back, and you're like, wah.
Yeah, yeah. Certain terms. Terms are kind of embarrassing to use.
Oh, well, man. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I was reading an interview about Beck, and he was talking about how, like, they're like, do you hate having to sing Loser, like, after all these years? He's like, no, it's fun. It's like playing a cover song. Everyone gets really into it. I have no attachment to it whatsoever.
Yeah,
no, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that gets me sometimes is the words. I'm like, I can't believe I wrote these stupid words.
Yeah, you just have to detach from that feeling, right?
I don't even know them. That's the good part. It's like, if we haven't been on tour for a while and I actually have to think about what I'm doing up on stage, I will invariably screw up all the words.
So
like,
oh, wow.
I have to, but once it's like, muscle memory, they just come out and I don't know what they mean.
There's like, ooh, baby, baby, feeling good, sunshine, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. Or like, nom de badown, a ding, a ding, ding, a ding, that kind of thing.
Mana, mana.
Yeah. Classic lyrics from Korn.
if we're on the Nerdist, I mean, I feel like we should. Andy's been making apps like out the wazoo.
What?
Yeah, his wazoo has been
apps like crazy.
You're dropping mad apps.
Mad apps.
What sort of mad apps are you making?
Well, we made an app with the band, a sort of word game that came out about a year ago, and then since then,
it's called Say the Same Thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then since then, I made a game called Make It Rain, which hit number one in the App Store.
Nice.
Both of them hit number one in the App Store. Bing, bing, bing.
Are you developing these and designing these, or are you kind of coming up with the ideas and then finding people to...
No, I'm a coder. That's what I was doing when you walked in the door.
Oh, nice.
Are you making an app over there? Are you making an app?
Yeah, I'm making apps.
God damn it. This is brilliant.
He's an actual real nerd.
Yeah. He's always cooking.
Yeah.
my favorite one of my Captain favorite Cook. Apps. You seen that Chase Bank app? That's a good app.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know those guys?
I got Bank of America. It's kind of similar, but, it's red.
Other than that, it's pretty much the same thing.
There's an app on my phone where I can take pictures with it, so it makes my phone into a camera.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Do you have to download that separately? Or?
I don't know, man. I don't know where it came from.
My favorite new app is you can find a GIF online, and it will convert it to video, and then you can post it on Instagram. It's... I've been doing it way too much.
Really?
Yeah, you really have.
Does Instagram not support animated GIFs?
They don't. So you have to convert it to video, and this app will like convert it into like how 15 seconds worth. I made a bunch of different ones. Made one of Chris was doing this dance. I took that GIF and put a Happy Monday song to it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Happy Monday.
What Happy Monday song?
Which song?
Step on.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the one.
I found a GIF of a wobbly dick, and I put Mr. Spriggs Barbecue theme song over it.
Mr. Spriggs Barbecue.
He found my picture.
did you do the Happy Mondays song because of Bez? Do you remember Bez from the Happy Mondays?
He was like the guy that didn't play anything.
The
maracas.
Hype
Man.
Yeah, the original. Because like there's been versions of that since. There was like he was there. And then the next one, there was Mighty Mighty Boss Stones had the dancer.
Right.
Yep.
Brian's Jonestown Massacre had that dude.
He was similar as well.
There's so few bands that have a guy in there that doesn't play anything.
Parliament has like nine of those. It's just like good point. Guys who just come out and just dance in a diaper.
Well, they're all backup singers, right?
No, I think they're just people who get high with George. And then they're on the two buses and then they just...
Yeah.
Like they just come out and do this and then
Do you think they're in the band?
I mean,
cuz lots of people
I think they probably get per diem. I bet they get per diem.
But like Bez was definitely in the Happy Mondays, right?
Yes.
There's no like
he's a listed member.
He's a listed member and all he and maybe he played maracas, but we're not even sure.
You're not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Would he whistle? Maybe he was the guy that whistled.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that was him?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Maybe he was the one with the most drugs and guns.
That's for sure. I think that seems almost unquestionable. Sure. Yeah.
What are they doing? What are any of those guys doing now?
I don't know.
Recovering.
Yeah.
It was the Manchester scene in the 90s was really heavy on the drugs. Really, really heavy on the drugs. Yeah. I mean, the Stone Roses did it. Didn't they do a reunion tour recently?
They did do a reunion tour. And those guys, I think Ian Brown has a solo thing. And, you know, yeah, I think they're still doing stuff. But
there was someone from... Oh, I think it was. I think the guy. I think maybe the guy from Madness is now a game show host in England.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I heard.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Which guy? Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of people in Madness too. The singer?
I think so. Okay. I believe so. Although I'm sure I will be instantly corrected on the internet in the comment threads.
Yeah, wait, Madness did Art House in the middle.
They did. Yes. Yeah. But they also did one of my favorite songs of all time, which I think Elvis Costello wrote, the It Must Be Love.
Yeah.
Ah, I was just going to say, there's this other great song by them. Yeah. It's that one.
Yeah, and I think Elvis wrote that one.
Oh, really?
Did he? That would make sense.
He also wrote Tempted, did he not?
He produced Tempted.
I don't know if he wrote it.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like there's a couple of songs out there where you're like, God, this sounds like an Elvis Costello song. You find out, oh, it's an Elvis Costello song.
That's why I like that Counting Crows song, Einstein on a Beach. It sounds like a cover of a Elvis Costello song. And that's the only song I like from that band.
And did he have anything to do with it?
No. But like one of the guys said in an interview, it was like they were trying to like.
Is it Einstein on a beach? There's Einstein on the Beach is like a famous...
Yeah, that's the Philip Glass thing, right? Okay. Yeah, I think this is Einstein on a Beach. And then like in parentheses, like for an Eggman.
For okay. What?
Eggman.
Oh.
Yeah.
As in I am the Walrus.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I am the Eggman.
It's great. It's a great song. Walrus. I highly recommend listening to it. Okay. It's the only reason I heard it is because it was on the DGC Rarities compilation from like 96.
Oh, wow.
You remember that?
No.
Nope.
I don't remember that
Jamie
one.
On it. Had a.
I do. I had that, actually.
Instead
yes,
of Nirvana
okay.
Stay Away, it was the lyrics were pay to play.
Right.
There was like a teenage fan club on there, Matthew Sweet, That Dog.
Yeah. I do. I actually do.
You know this record very well.
Yeah. It was a great record. Yeah. I still listen to it. It's got
a lot of music bullshit.
It had sort of like a lot of rarities, right?
Yeah. It was the DGC Rarities.
It was called DGC Rarities, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
As opposed to DGC's most common jams.
Yeah.
DGC's jock jams.
Jock jammers. What'd you call it?
DGC. Easy to find.
When are you guys going to do some jock jams? I mean, I think maybe it's.
That's a great question, because we actually did just finish the jockiest jock jam we've ever written.
What did you write?
We wrote a song. I'm allowed to say the title, you think? I think it probably
am.
We wrote a song for Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Awesome.
Called You're a Fucking Nerd and No One Likes You. And it starts with a full minute of Andy just shredding.
Nice. Yeah.
It's like it is
on the keyboard code.
Yeah. Just cooking it up.
Yeah.
it's a coded guitar solo.
We're connecting to a 28.8 modem connection.
There's in the movie, two of the actors make fun of one of the other actors. Two of the characters make fun of the other characters.
Oh, okay,
by
good.
Singing You're a Fucking Nerd and No One Likes You. And so the director, Steve Pink, came to us and was like, we want to make a real song out of this. And so we wrote You're a Fucking Nerd and No One Likes You. And it's...
That's fantastic.
It's really good. There are some references to Wilt Chamberlain in there.
There you go.
As you could probably imagine. Yeah.
I do so much blow, my goddamn eyeballs are on fire.
That's a line. That's a line. Yeah.
Fantastic. When do we get to hear this?
We believe that the movie comes out on the 25th of December.
Okay.
Which you might know is Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Is that it?
Well, we sometimes have to remind Tim.
So. I'm Jewish.
Oh, that would explain the blue sweater.
Yeah. I'm Jewish.
Yeah. I'm Jewish. I'm sorry I don't celebrate your holiday. It's cute. You guys get presents one day a year.
Yeah.
It's really adorable.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Oh, cute for you.
We stretched it out.
I'll give you one of my eight.
Yeah. But it's not like you get eight Xboxes at Hanukkah, right? I mean, it's like they sort of parse out the...
Oh, it's a lot like you get eight Xboxes
what?
At Hanukkah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, Tim was really...
I don't know what Jewish friends you had.
Gave him six Xboxes for Hanukkah last year.
Oh, man.
The other 2 days, I just gave him muffins.
I had no idea. I thought it was like an advent calendar where it's like, oh, look, I get a gummy bear on this day. Like, it's like it's all parsed out. When you put everything together, it's like, wow, what a haul. Yeah. But individually, everything
I think
is...
you can customize your Hanukkah. I mean, I think if you want eight Xboxes
you can pimp your Hanukkah.
All 8 days, then you just customize it.
Pimp my Hanukkah.
Way. Yeah, exactly.
You could also... I mean, it gets people... Like, you could give somebody, like... The bumper, and
right.
The muffler,
right.
You know, and then just be like, by the time you're done, you're like, you put that car together yourself.
Now you got to build it.
Yeah.
Here's all your presents, and the ultimate meta present is that you have no chore now that you have to do.
I got all of these things at a discount because they were not connected.
That's.
And now you have a Yugo car.
Yeah. Well, if you can figure out how to put it together, you can.
I mean, sure, I could have just gone out and bought you one thing, and that would have been easy. But I went to 25 different places.
Yeah.
And now,
this year, Hanukkah is 25 days long because of it.
That's right.
Again, it goes back to just customizing it, you know.
Just make it for you.
Yeah.
June time Hanukkah, just like mid-year Hanukkah.
Yeah, totally.
I like that. I think it'd be fun to holiday swap every so often. Whereas, yeah, like if you're used to celebrating one, it's like, you know, let's do the other one and see. Like that wouldn't violate anyone's.
I'll swap with you this year if you want to swap.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
This is big. Right.
So I get
we have to document this or something? Like, is this an official?
I think we just made an oral contract
on
the podcast.
Yeah, I think this counts.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for Christmas, Tim?
I'm going to start by making it 8 days long.
Oh,
hey. Yeah.
And I'm going to customize my Hanukkah to making it just on December 25th.
Okay, well, there you go.
See, so I can't wait to celebrate my customized.
I think you guys have, like, really exploited the loopholes here and kind of it's not fun for the rest of
us. Well, this is the culture that we're at now, is that everything is so customizable that, you know, I'm sure, like, what you're saying sounds completely, I'm sure people are like, oh yeah, of course.
We're treating Christmas and Hanukkah like a pair of Vans.
And I don't like blue. Can we do like a checkerboard, like a red and black kind of a thing? Can we do those colors?
Yeah. I will tell you, red and green do not look good together.
No, they're weird.
It's really ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, other complementary colors like purple and gold look great. Lakers look great,
right?
You know, like blue and orange. All right, maybe the masks don't look that great, but they just chose a bad blue.
I love a good Christmas purple. I think it's really nice.
There you go.
And gold.
Is that a thing?
It is now.
Oh, okay.
I think
I want my Christmas to be straight up chrome.
That there's nothing wrong with
Christmas.
That.
Christmas.
Yeah,
Chrome
Christmas.
Happy Chrome.
No, he knows better.
Yeah,
tinsel's kind of chromey. Right?
Tinsel's chromey, but why put it on that damn tree? I want my thing. I want a big shiny orb.
Yeah. Your whole tree is an orb.
So no, you just want like a glowing maybe a little bit, but shiny as hell.
Instead of Santa Claus, just Chromeo shows up to your house.
There's a collection of music that I'm still to this day kicking myself that we didn't get.
That we did not purchase.
We saw it in a CD bin maybe 12 years ago, and it was called A Very Bass Christmas.
Oh.
And I think it was like Miami Booty Bass.
Yes. Miami Booty Bass.
Yeah.
We have looked so hard for that.
Yeah.
If anyone listening can find A Very Bass Christmas,
someone will.
Please send it to us.
That's Tim, now. It's time for your marimba lessons.
I'm sorry, but I'm getting better. Listen.
Bass.
You missed it.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, your phone is ringing. Why don't you pick it up?
That was just an alarm, guys.
What are you alarmed about?
Just like what I'm going to do for Christmas.
Reminder.
Reminder,
October 31st.
Yeah, you better get
he
this
ready.
He
sends that frequently to himself. It's like every day at whatever the time is, 2:30 or so, he gets one of those alarms that says, like, what are you going to do for it?
Yeah, an alarm, yeah.
What's it going to be for Customizica this year? Tim Nordwinica. You could totally, it could be anything you want. Like, it could be anything, absolutely anything you want.
Yeah.
You like costumes a lot.
I love costumes. Yeah.
So this would be maybe you should bring customizer because should have a costume element. Yeah.
That's different from.
It's like Halloween.
Like Santa.
No, I mean, well, if you want Santa, but that's just like one fat old white man. I think you want. Don't you want like?
I want Ming the Merciless.
Yeah, but you get to be whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be the costume.
Ming the Merciless does kind of look like if Santa Claus had. Like an evil cousin or like an evil, like Ming the Merciless completely.
He looks like he would still make the decision of like, yeah, you get a present. No, you don't get a present.
Yeah.
But except he says no to everyone.
He says no to everyone. And in fact, everyone has to give him gifts.
Or maybe everyone has to put their hand in that stump.
Oh, that wood stump.
Yeah,
wood
the rite of passage.
The rite of passage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because didn't Ming actually require that in some way? Wasn't Ming?
Ming did not. No,
no. No, their culture. I think that was just their.
Yeah,
like,
that was the tree planet culture.
Yeah.
There's so much about that film that I love. I mean, he was a football player.
He was
Flash Gordon.
Flash was a football player.
Played for the New York Jets.
And he was shot into space with Dale Arden. And
Dr. Hans Zarkov.
And then all of a sudden, there were a bunch of little people in garbage bags.
Yeah.
Like, it was they
really
spent
colorful garbage
little
bags.
To no time on the a lot of the costuming for Flash Gordon.
But it still looked magical, though.
And he was Queen. He was always such a hero.
Mm-hmm. Flash?
Yeah, I mean, not just when he's saving the day was he a hero. He's just a hero all the time. He like, had a nice
well, every one of us.
Well, I mean, he was a quarterback. Yeah, that's what quarterbacks do. They run the show. They save the team. They get the points scored.
But okay, so not being super sportsy, mm-hmm. when I think of the NFL and I think of like quarterbacks, I don't go, we should shoot that guy into space because he'd do great. Like I don't think
that actually seems obvious to me.
Really,
he's a team leader. He's a team leader,
and very strong.
I guess.
Very strong.
Well, I mean, it depends if you've already heard the song or not.
I guess that's true.
Because if you know that he's going to save every one of us, then like there's. I mean, I realize it's sort of circular, but
yeah.
If you had heard his theme song, Flash.
Does it work with anyone else? Tom Brady. He'll save every one of us.
I mean, they're like in such good shape. You know what I mean? Like, if I was going to trust anyone to like not have like the G forces kill them.
That's
you know,
why they went for football because baseball players are allowed to be fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and they wouldn't, and I feel like, well, but baseball players are more inclined to use performance-enhancing drugs.
That's true.
Which may make them more suitable in space conditions.
Well, we do know that most people don't survive in space, so they're probably going to have to take some sort of drug.
That's true. So they're already used to it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think maybe hockey players would do great. It's like in the Outer Rim planets.
Yep. Yeah.
Like on Hoth or something.
Where it's real cold.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fighting happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, to be fair, a lot of fighting happens in space everywhere.
That's true. Highlight players would be really good in places where someone like Ming the Merciless might make you have some sort of a weird competition to save your life.
Because you can't figure out the rules of Highlight? Is that what you
mean? That's right. And so it would confuse the other aliens with that weird ball zipping by them in their hand.
That
nets.
Yeah, that hand extender.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just what it's called, a hand extender. I'm positive that it doesn't have another name.
Well, Highlight also, they can get their... The fact that Highlight continues to exist and there's something akin to a league for it, even though there's only like three cities in the world where it's played, means that those people can survive in very weird conditions and that's can true. Like mm-hmm. they can make things happen that nobody else can make happen.
Okay. Chariot racers... I mean, I guess in a certain situation where you might be on like a speeder bike or something, and you're having to,
Or if you have like a Greek planet that where there's like a lot of bacchanalia and like a lot of questionable relationships between older men and younger women.
Chariot racers would be good for that.
curling? No, not really.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ice planet issues, right? I mean, we've already dealt with Hoth.
Hoth, Phrygia. Yeah.
Basketball? Is basketball good for any?
That's a global sport.
It is a global sport.
Yeah.
But it's a universal sport.
I think it'll transcend, yeah.
I can imagine I can imagine planets where height would really be an advantage.
By the way, if I had a show on ESPN, this is what we'd talk about. Because I don't know anything else. Yeah.
Do you want to know what they do talk about on ESPN? Not like on the shows, but during the games? Because we watch a fair amount of sports because Andy's really into sports. And the rest of us don't care as much. Mm-hmm. But we really, really love the commentary. Mm-hmm. Because they can spend 3 hours in a football game saying
the obvious.
We're not nothing or everything all at the same time. They're like, now he's going to have to move the ball down the field.
Like, team with the most points at the end is just going to win this game.
That's at the end of the day.
Now, Jim, if they don't get it across that goal line, they're not going to make the points they need to win this game.
I disagree. I think through osmosis, they're going to get a charm bracelet that's going to take their score.
What's like baseball commentators, like they have so much time that they end up just like reading poetry the entire time and talking about the history of baseball and how much it means to
have
sons
and dads.
Have you actually
heard a poem?
What?
Have you actually heard a poem?
It's the bottom of the ninth. Have you ever heard how much a man can cry?
Do you remember Leapin' Lanny Lizard from the WWF? He was a wrestler who read poetry before his matches. Do you remember him?
You've talked about him, and I remember him.
I think they called him
Prism of Your Mind.
I think they called him the Poet Laureate Leapin' Lanny Lizard.
Jesus.
and they would let him always read poetry, but then he would always lose.
Aww.
He would always lose.
Well, they have to kill the pawns, basically.
Yeah.
It's very. It was a. But wrestling was not good for stereotypes.
He's the only pawn I know of where they actually gave him like some minutes before they actually got into the wrestling match. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, but a lot of them had their presentation. I mean, I don't think most of them were presenting poetry, but there was like they'd come out and they had that big moment and they'd like bash the chairs around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Undertaker.
Like that.
Yeah.
Now, why isn't that in other sports? I know that like that there's a...
That was the Paul Bearer?
Yeah, it's Paul Bearer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of theater to wrestling that isn't inherent in other sports. I understand that. But you could have... I mean, why don't you have that in football? Why don't those people have...
Why isn't there the WWNBA, which is basically like wrestlers playing basketball?
Wrestlers playing basketball.
Apparently, yeah. They tried for a while to have basketball...
Well, that's the Harlem
Globetrotters,
really.
...on trampolines. They had like... You were telling me about this the other day, weren't you?
No, okay. I never said that.
Andy is shaking his head vigorously.
I didn't say that.
He's like, this is not a sport. You know how like smaller leagues don't pay very much, and the people who are in them, like I think it was the off-season people from indoor football needed a job, and they were like, you guys should play trampoline basketball.
So they needed another... kind of related but much less popular version of
some sport, right? Yeah. So they made the whole floor was made out of trampolines, and people just could do incredible things.
Awesome.
But apparently it was really dangerous, and it only lasted like 2 years. There's a documentary out about it, but I don't remember what
it's
called.
So it's like a slam dunk contest.
Yeah, does that mean everyone can dunk?
Yeah. But also everybody can...
What was their style?
It was way more successful than baseball, BASS, where everyone had to hit the ball with an upright base.
I feel like what we're talking about here is the Harlem Globetrotters, though. I mean, like that basically is the WWF of basketball.
I guess it is. Yeah, yeah. The Globetrotters.
Yeah, and yeah. They always play the Washington Generals, who have lost for the last 60 years.
Try harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently the Generals won once. Like
really?
In 1967.
Accidentally?
It's hard to say. That's the mystery. I guess apparently the manager of the team, who was also a player on the team... He threw the game by winning it, and nobody really knows why. And like I think the Globetrotters were like lazy that night. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
It's weird. So full of alarms.
You know, sometimes when someone's phone goes off in the middle of an interview and they sort of feel like a novice for having their phone on, they just put it on silent after that.
No, but it is on silent.
Tim's committed.
I didn't realize my alarm was set.
It's just a very loud silent. Did you hit the snooze button before?
I think I must have hit snooze.
You might have hit snooze before set it off.
But yeah, apparently the Globetrotters were really lazy that game and didn't realize that their lead was dwindling. And at the very last minute, this guy one up and won it, and like the crowd was pissed.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of a fun movie where there's a disgraced NBA coach because he just he had a scandal or a temper or whatever, and the only job he can get is like the Generals.
Yeah.
And so he just gets in his head. He's like, we're going to fucking crush the other. And they basically then it turns into like the bloodiest, most intense games of the entire
I would definitely watch that.
Or if the Globetrotters, or if he takes over like the Globetrotters, but then they actually... somehow through a loophole they can actually like go for the NBA ring or whatever it is.
Do they get it or not?
They win it. Yeah, they win it in the end with all their complex basketball trickery.
I don't need to see that movie.
Why? Well, you know they're going to win.
I didn't know that.
Well, they would have to. Otherwise, it's not.
Spoiler alert. You can just edit that back to before.
Who's in that movie? Who's the coach? Who's the disgruntled coach?
That's a great question.
Danny DeVito.
DeVito or John Goodman.
John Goodman's good. Yeah.
I think John Goodman would be a good choice.
Goodman would be really good.
Yeah.
Or is John Goodman like the assistant coach? No, maybe he could be the head guy.
Goodman would be a good assistant to Danny DeVito.
Or
because then you would have
Pesci.
Or this might be a little bit of a... What about Kevin Spacey? He looks like he could play a basketball coach.
He does. Mm-hmm. And he also looks like the singer from The Shins to me.
James Mercer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I never noticed. Yes.
Wow, good eye.
No, I saw The Shins the first time, I was like, Kevin Spacey. Got a band?
And had a delicately high voice? That's amazing.
So you could get the two of them, maybe.
You know, when Kevin Spacey released Shoots Too Narrow, that was a real turning point.
That's what the movie's called, Shoots Too Narrow.
Shoots Too Narrow!
I thought that,
son of a bitch.
I thought that's what you were saying. That's yeah. what, I was like, that's great.
Yeah. yeah. No, and you only ever see their shins because they're really tall.
yeah.
And the camera people are. If you, in order to shoot a basketball game correctly, I think you need to strap GoPros onto a bunch of terriers and just let them loose on the court. you just get a lot of like basketball dicks. That's where the dogs would go.
That's good cinema.
Dicks.
I think that should be a movie. I think a movie should be shot in. That would be a great experimental film. Is that you just put a GoPro on a couple of dogs and you just see what they get, yeah. and you basically just edit together some type of narrative based on whatever wherever the dogs.
I would like to go back to something we said earlier about the requirement that there be a hypothesis when you make an experiment.
The hypothesis being that yes, a dog could shoot a movie,
and you would enjoy it.
Yeah, and you would enjoy it. Yeah. Hmm. Now, of course, you might go, well, what's hard about that? You're just putting cameras in a dog's head. Here's the rub. The dogs are also going to edit the movie. So, just like a little...
That's way over budget.
Final cut.
It feels to me like you should spread this out a little bit. Like, you could have... Cats seem like they might could be pretty good
they
editors.
They don't work well together.
Yeah, but that's why you put them on the other side.
I don't know. Cats films would be so pretentious.
Yeah, that's true.
There'd be a lot of conflict, though.
So fucking annoying.
Yeah, just... ugh. Yeah, do you even want me to like this movie?
About yes. the yeah,
you don't care.
The cat like movie it. Is a Michel Gondry movie, and the dog movie is a Michael Bay.
There is
a lot of crotches and explosions.
A musical / art group in Tokyo called Meiwadenki. Do you know these people?
No.
Well, in the 90s, they made a lot of really, really, really cool sculptures. One of them was a fish tank. It was actually like a little tank that a fish can drive around.
Oh, that's rad.
And if the fish, like, it was like a cross-shaped water reservoir, and if it drove into the, like, the front of it, then the tank would drive that way. If it drove in the back, it would drive that way. And so the fish, of course, it's pretty hard to train a fish to know that it is driving a tank. And so the tank basically just kind of jitters around while the fish kind of like goes, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But... it's a very lovely piece of art.
And they constantly have to stop and ask for directions because they don't remember more than a couple of seconds.
Yeah, right. And then and language.
How do problem. I get to – where am I going? Like they don't – they can't ever get anywhere.
Yeah. Because they
just – I tried this one.
I'm going
tried this one.
Left? Yeah. Do I go left? Or do I go left? What's left?
Left.
What am I? Like, it, yeah. then it just yeah. kind of goes on. It just sort of goes. And then all of a sudden, you come back the next day, and they're just sort of floating in the thing in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
On the side they didn't
Well, because it stopped to eat snacks, and it wouldn't stop eating.
Yeah. It just didn't know.
Yeah, it just kept on going.
They have some other great artworks. This is another favorite of mine. There's a... It's a giant spring-loaded... sword that it acts as a lightning rod, and so if God hits you with lightning, you shoot a sword into the sky at him. Like as soon as it is, like when you get hit by lightning, you fight back.
How about yeah? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
That I love that. That would actually be a thing that you would get like one last moment of satisfaction.
Yeah. You're like my building is on fire right now, but. There is a sword up in your shit.
Yeah, I think that's the sword is no fuck you. I think like that's
exactly
fuck me no.
Or I just killed my neighbor down the street.
Where do you think that thing landed? I wouldn't really worry about it.
I don't know.
We did that.
What do I know? Yeah.
I think it's now. I think we're past the statute of limitations. We can talk about how we did that once in Los Angeles. First time we tried directing a real video. This was like after we'd made the backyard dance thing, but I think before the treadmills.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It was. Yeah.
We were like, we want to make a video of blowing shit up. And so we hired some people to help us blow some shit up, and we got a high-speed camera and stuff. And when we got to the day of the shoot, our pyro guy was like, oh, no, you didn't realize you didn't have the right license to like actually use black powder for more than once on the shoots. We're like, we can only blow up one real thing. Everything else has to be done with an extremely high-powered air gun that I guess releases such a bolt of energy that it actually will blow shit up just without fire. So we blew up a lot of different things this way. It was not as successful as we would like it to have been, but it kind of worked. Okay. You know? And one of the things we were going to blow up was a turkey dinner. And
like
so,
a big Thanksgiving dinner.
A huge thing.
Like a big spread.
Right. And the turkey itself is right in the middle of the table on a pretty thick ceramic tray. And it was assumed that this would just, like, you know, you're going to blow right through this thing, like it's going to explode everywhere. Instead, it just launched. It went through the ceiling of the warehouse we were working in, and we went outside. We found little parts of the tray, but nothing of the turkey. We were in downtown LA, and like it.
Still frozen?
You could. Yeah, it was still frozen in part, so it was like a rock hard turkey that we sent. I mean, you could tell by the sort of arc where it had gone through the roof, like what the general trajectory was. And this, I mean, it went hundreds.
But from the point of view of the turkey, there was like, finally, you gave him this.
Now he's a flightless bird.
the wings, which were mostly useless for his entire life.
Yeah,
you just needed a little bit of a boost.
I don't think
you could get in trouble for that.
I have no idea. I mean, I really, like, thinking of how and where that landed has always been a source of great amusement.
Maybe it landed in a needy family's yard.
Yeah. Or straight through the roof.
Yeah. Onto their table. Lord, please provide our family with a shook. Praise Jesus. Like, it's a very special.
What happened to Daryl?
We got a turkey, but he took one of the kids, like the turkey. Yeah. And then they shoot the lightning rod back up into the sky. And then they sit down for dinner. Well, you guys seem to have there's a drum kit set up, but there's no drummer.
No.
So the drum set will just be here in name
you
only.
You want to play drums?
I don't Jonah plays drums, but I don't
play
drums.
Sure.
Do you play When the Levee Breaks?
What?
Play When the Levee Breaks.
I got it. We're going to have to start with Into God of Vida, and I'll do the solo and it's complete.
Sure. Okay, yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah.
I know how to do that beat, though. When the Levee Breaks.
You couldn't do it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. I tried. Couldn't. Like, I really tried.
At least it was that Swedish thing.
Yeah. I just had to do something, you know, like, but just silence itself, I just can't. I just can't. I always just want to like jump in. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Why are we so uncomfortable? Especially because you can edit this, you know.
I
so
won't.
You could just sit us. You could just sit with us in silence.
I could. I could stretch it out for like, you know. I could have Katie just like drag this out to like 9 minutes of silence until.
Well, think about it.
Until.
You have to do it.
I'll think about it right now.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, also with digital editing, you can stretch the audio without actually changing its pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have Tim not just say, "Well, think about it," but he can say like,
"Please go all the way through with it."
No, you failed. Come on.
But you made me laugh in the middle of it.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Is he a fucking comedian or something?
I don't know. So what are you gonna play?
I think we're going to play the song I Won't Let You Down.
I Won't Let You Down.
We actually listen to the song that way a lot because we've filmed the video for this at half speed.
Right.
And so the song, which is like a kind of upbeat disco song, was a very downbeat.
How many times through did you go...
We got to the end of it. I believe it was 12 times. Does that sound right to you?
11 or 12, yeah.
But that's out of 40 or 50 starts.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, when you're shooting things in a single shot, it's a pain in the ass when you screw up, but at least there's, you know...
When you're done, you're done.
Yeah, like if you get to the end, you know you've got it. You know?
I mean, that is pretty incredible that, in theory, you could shoot a video that complex and then almost immediately upload it. I mean, I know that there's more to it than just that, but in theory, that's pretty spectacular. I mean,
it has happened too. I mean, the very first thing that went viral for us was us dancing in my backyard. It was not intended to be a music video. You know, it was a live routine we did on stage because at that time in the early aughts, people were just like so cool all the time in rock shows, and we were just like, we want to do something like really absurdly fun and make people kind of like get out of it, like just shake them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do these ludicrous boy band dances just to kind of make fun of ourselves and make it, I don't know, just bring the sense of joy to the room. And we were practicing one in the backyard and we shot it to see what it looked like, and it was just like the clip was so funny that we just like sent it to a bunch of friends, and it was not a music video at all. It was just like, here's this silly thing we made. And then, I mean, so we literally did just upload it like the minute we were done with it, and like a month later, someone had downloaded it 300,000 times.
Well, not one person.
One guy.
Yeah. Well, it was this before YouTube even. It was a site called iFilm, and so when we realized that, like, wow, we have now, that's more records than we had sold to date, you know? And then we started making them on purpose, but a lot of them were pretty much uploaded as soon as we were done.
How much rehearsal time did you have leading up to because the Umbrella stuff, which it basically ends up looking like an LED screen.
Yeah.
That was pretty...
It's intense. We had about a month of rehearsal.
Wow.
But that last shot is composited. There aren't that many vehicles in existence yet. There's 2,300-something people in that shot, and it's shot in pieces. Like, we had to do them in chunks because there aren't that many of those bikes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Sorry, Unicubs. They're not bikes. They're Unicub Betas.
How fast do those go?
About 6 miles an hour.
And so is it sort of like the Japanese Rascal? Where it's like, you see people on the Rascal.
Yeah.
Like it's Disneyland, and like Disneyland is full of people on Rascals.
Really?
Like it's almost like a freeway. getting through there. It's like a Rascal way.
That's, I don't know.
A little bit more spinal control, I think, for this thing.
Oh, yeah. Because you're using your center of gravity to turn and, right.
It's really fun to ride around on. We don't know what their target market is. I mean, I think it's meant for indoor use, so I'm sure it's like it's offices.
Just getting around the office.
Yeah.
Museums and shopping malls were.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't use your legs. Like, don't walk around get the exercise that you need as a human being to, you know, to thrive. Like,
I believe we are contractually obligated not to think that joke is funny. Those are lovely machines.
That's what I meant.
Well.
I was being earnest when I said that. I think, you know, let's all just attach our.
Andy has a standing desk.
Yeah,
it's good. It's better to stand up to work.
Yeah, but way. I sit on a Unicub at the desk.
Oh, okay, so it's not.
Yeah.
You probably have to tip up a bit.
Yeah,
to reach the
bat on my wrist.
It seems like a. It seemed. I don't know if that's a good efficient way to code.
I'll think about your recommendation.
How long do you spend coding when you're not in the band?
He's always in the band.
How long do I spend coding when we're doing stuff with the band? I don't know. Probably 10 hours a day.
Jesus. Andy codes all day on tour. Literally, all day.
Yeah.
Like, we peel him away from his computer so that he does sound check. And then he's like, are we done? I need to get back on my computer.
What are you coding on?
Like, what, IDE?
Yeah.
Xcode?
And
it's Apple's.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Xcode is they've made it a lot easier than it used to be to code in a traditional some type of weird shell.
Xcode's great.
And so, how many apps do you have that you're juggling at the moment? Or are you just focusing on one?
We have like five in development. There's some that are out that actually take up most of my time because there's bugs and there's people screaming at us and.
Do you do everything yourself?
No. Okay. I sort of have like a side project team that company that there are other people working.
Good. Because that would be kind of difficult for you to have to like stop in the middle of the show and be like, I'm sorry, guys, I have to take this tech support call.
Server's down, guys.
Yeah, so I got to go find out. I got to go track and get all the data to make sure that I know.
Yeah. They do a good routine when we need to stall in the show. They do a routine from Les Mis. I could probably get it fixed while we're doing it.
That's true.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, our show is pretty techie, and so there's always stuff that's breaking.
Yes.
So you have to have things you can do that require nothing other than a little lack of shame.
And a lot of times those can be shining moments in the show when your tech goes down and you're like, well, I guess we got to figure this.
Yeah. No, it's honestly the slow realization of that over the course of our career that like the day you forget the lyrics is actually people think that's great.
Yeah. It's a special moment.
Human moments.
Yeah. Well, they're like, I saw, I was there that one day that happened. And so it's usually the tech going down as long as you know it can be brought back up within 5 minutes or something.
Then
and
it's
that's
okay.
That's the stressful part is that like there's it's a great moment if it's 5 minutes long, 3 minutes long. It's
right.
A terrible moment. It's 15.
Once again, stop. Okay, go. Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, go.
We had a show in Albany recently where nobody knows what was going on in this room, but the DJ who opened for us he said he was like, my computer went down and then the backup went down. And like he was just plugged in. And like, I don't know what could possibly do that. But then as soon as we got on stage, our the computer that our front of house guy, you know, the guy who's mixing for the room, he was like running it all through effects processors, and it just like shat the bed right in the middle of the show.
Ghosts. Yeah. I mean, it's
like,
clearly.
And it happened three times during the show, and it was just like,
it's three ghosts. You know,
it's a, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Was Mercury in retrograde?
Yeah.
That's probably it then.
Yeah.
I think it was three ghosts, like a past, present, and a future ghost.
They're not exclusive. Yeah, they could be the same thing.
Do you think so? Do you think ghosts like to perform in retrograde?
I think so.
Okay. So Mars, that's Fonzie's planet, right?
Not according to you, Chris.
What?
You said Venus.
Yeah, you wanted him to be from Venus, where women are from.
I think, Fonzie, we've covered this on the podcast before. My Fonzie theory.
Well, you have?
You think that's why he's so good with women? It's because he comes from a planet of them?
Oh, shit.
No, Fonzie might be like Diana Prince. He might actually be like an Amazon woman. And he just cut his hair really short. That's actually better. When Kevin Smith was on, I had this theory that I thought Fonzie was actually gay.
That's why he
related to women so well, and that's why he loved leather, and that's why he was so wonderful.
Yeah.
And what'd
you learn about that?
That I'm right about everything I say.
Okay, so you were right. Okay.
No, I don't know. I would love to ask Henry Winkler his thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's always surprised me that heavy metal can be exactly the same style as like super biker gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That totally, there's a lot of crossover.
It's like the exact same thing.
Maybe Henry Winkler should be your 600th interview.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Katie, let's book Winkler.
Katie, get me Winkler.
Katie, get me Winkler on the phone.
Supposedly, Henry Winkler grew up in a house down the street from me, which was like a huge point of pride. Then it turned out it was like his cousin.
Oh.
In Worcester?
Chuck Winkler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck Winkler.
Chuck Winkle?
Who had a completely different catchphrase.
Yo!
Completely different?
Yep.
What are you just like, hey.
Yeah.
It's so much shorter.
Just one thumb.
No, I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
All right. Will you please play for us now that we are in Swing House Studios? And
yeah.
I mean, there's so many great sound absorption audio donuts on the walls. I guess, do those have a purpose?
They are meant to diffuse.
A little bit?
We once played Debaser with Frank Black on this stage.
Are you serious?
We rehearsed it with him here.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And then played it later at the Echo.
This place is moving too, right? Are you guys moving?
Yeah.
Yeah. Atwater Village.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was opening a second location. This one's actually leaving.
Yeah.
Ixnay on the Hollywood Hay.
Dunzo, Washington.
On the Estway Hollywood Hay.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, if you guys have to get anywhere,
don't do it today.
Head east because the traffic's going to be a fucking nightmare because it's Halloween. And the end never
I've
rains in Los Angeles.
So
probably going to rain tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Halloween parade.
We're only going west.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you guys got that helicopter, right?
Yes, right.
Yes. We got the helicopter with which we shot our last video. So we just hang on to it, really.
If you have the little vehicles that you wore in the I Won't Let You Down video, then
I like wearing my vehicles.
Actually, you'll get to wherever you're going quicker than if you were sitting in your car.
That's true.
At your 6 miles an hour. So let's try to get you guys out of here so you're not sitting in too much traffic.
Okay, Go is setting up their instruments now and the Nerdist. This is NPR, Nerdist Podcast Radio. The instruments are being picked up.
Trust, maybe I need someone to trust. someone. I won't let you down. No, I won't let you down. I won't let you down, my love. I won't let you down. No, I won't let you down. I won't let you down, my love.
Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.